What are the odds? What are the odds? I don't know if any of you have figured out probabilities for things. I think we do that kind of all the time. You know, what are the odds that I'll make it to church when it snows really hard and it's icy? So we think, oh, maybe I should stay home today, or maybe I should come. Or what are the odds that my favorite team is going to win this year in whatever sport you're thinking about? What are the odds? Well, what are the odds that we have Christmas? Merry Christmas. Glad you're here. There's many people that are here actually from around the world. I've met some of them today. I won't embarrass them by asking them to raise their hand. But it's wonderful that we can go anywhere in the world and be able to come and worship Jesus, and especially at the time of his birth. In 2 days, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ as families. Jesus is the most influential and controversial person in the history of the world that I can think of. Does anybody know anybody else who's caused more discussion about life? I don't know anybody else that's caused more discussion around that. Not just life here, but also eternal life. When you and I were born, other than that joyful day that marked the occasion, I don't know of anything else that really happened. When Jesus was born, there were shepherds, there were angels. The wise men started making a journey to meet him. There was lots of things going on. Today, I'd like to show you that his birth is not just a regular birth. It's not just a coincidence. His birth was planned from the beginning of creation. From the beginning of creation. My hope for you today is that you will understand the complexity of Jesus' birth and realize that he is the only one who can claim to be the way, the truth, and the life. He is our God who came to us in flesh. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior, the one that the prophets foretold centuries before his coming. Peter says to Cornelius, to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Today, as you bear witness with me through the prophets, I hope that you will believe in Jesus Christ and receive the two things. One of them is mentioned here. First, there is forgiveness of sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have forgiveness of sins. If you're weighed down under a feeling of guilt, a feeling of discouragement, something that maybe you've done that you feel really terrible for, there is forgiveness for sins through Jesus Christ, like Peter stated. Eternal life is the second. John says here, whoever believes in Jesus Christ may have eternal life. John proclaimed it. If you already believe in Jesus Christ, as many of you do, and have received forgiveness of your sins and thereby eternal life, then I hope to strengthen your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ today through what the prophets foretold about his birth. In Acts chapter 10, Peter reviewed with the Roman centurion Cornelius the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He appealed to Cornelius and said, "You have heard about Jesus. You know everything about Jesus, what he's done." Peter brought to Cornelius' attention all that he heard about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Peter also told Cornelius that Peter himself had witnessed his life, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And if that wasn't clear enough or proof enough, Peter also stated that the prophets from hundreds of years before Christ also witnessed his life, death, and resurrection. That little statement made me curious. How did the prophets witness? How did they know? What did they say? So I began digging, and I dug a lot, and I found a list of 300 and 51 prophecies just about Jesus alone. 351. How many prophecies did you fulfill, or will you by the time you're dead, given 33 years? 351. These prophecies are found in 30 of the 39 books in the Old Testament. So as you read through the Old Testament, there are 351 prophecies in 30 of those books. So keep your eyes peeled. Try and find a prophecy. If you're interested in that list, you can talk to me after. Fortunately for you, we're not going to look at all 351 today. Only five. These five, as you might have guessed, I've chosen around, they're around the birth of Jesus Christ. And as I thought of Jesus' birth, my mind wandered just a little bit. As you know, my mind can wander just a little bit quite often. And my wife doesn't particularly like that all the time. Do you recognize this building? Anybody recognize it? What is it? It's the hospital in Fort McMurray. So if I cause any of you grief, that's what you got to look for. Do you recognize this building? It's the hospital. Some of you should. Your children were born there. Some of you work there. Some of you have been helped in different ways there. That's the Fort McMurray Hospital. This is not a hospital. This is a stable. It could have been like the stable that Jesus was born in. Everybody has different theories, but I couldn't put all the pictures up, so I chose this one. It's nice and clean. This isn't something that I'm saying is the stable, but it gives us a picture of where Mary gave birth to Jesus. And when I was thinking about Jesus' birth in this stable, my mind wandered again, and it went back to a hospital that we're familiar with. I am so glad we, my wife and I, had a nice hospital with doctors and nurses and drugs. Yeah, those are important, aren't they? Can you imagine being in that stable? Oof. When my children were born, I remember being overwhelmed each time. Not by the drugs, just by the moment. I remember my wife being the heroine of the day. I didn't know if I should use the word heroine. Does everybody know what a heroine is? Having just talked about drugs, so I'll substitute hero. My wife was the hero of the day each time. I remember holding each of my children and thinking questions like, who is this person that just came into the world? I remember thinking, what will you be like? What purpose are you going to have? Who will you become? At least I know your name, because we chose that a month ago. I don't know. Some people wait for that. But we knew each of our children's names. I think there are some of us who are still trying to answer those questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? I hope you know your name. And I'll bet you've got lots of them now that you've been in different workplaces. Different names that people call you. After reflecting on my children, I thought about Mary. Did Mary ask those questions? She may have. The scriptures say that she thought deeply about things. Perhaps she thought about the prophecies surrounding her son Jesus. What a roadmap to know what your son is going to be like, who he's going to be. These 351 prophecies about Jesus were about his life, his death, his resurrection. They're all in the Old Testament, so they would have been available to her. I wonder if she would have studied them during her visit to her older relative Elizabeth, who was married to a priest named Zechariah. What a perfect opportunity to ask questions about the Old Testament prophecies. If I was her, I would have been asking questions about Jesus nonstop, lots of them. I'd also be thinking, what are the odds that one person could fulfill all of these prophecies? Imagine how difficult it would be for just these five which we're about to talk, how difficult it would be for them to be fulfilled in one person. The first prophecy that we come to is 6,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago. First prophecy, what are the odds that you were thought of centuries, 40 centuries before you were born? Who is thinking of you 40 centuries ago? That'd be 4,000 years ago. God makes the first prophecy in the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago. So the verse we have here, the context is they're in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have sinned, and now God is laying out the curses. And he's talking to this serpent in the Garden of Eden. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The words, her offspring, refers to Jesus, and it states his mission. He shall bruise your head, referring to the serpent, Satan. Over the next 4,000 years, God unfolded this strategy to bring it about. And so we have now, today, the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas and his death and resurrection at Easter. What are the odds that you would be born of a virgin? We already read this verse in the English Standard Version. This is in the King James. And you'll note a little difference here. It's not that it's huge, but it is huge in a sense. It gives us a little bit more understanding. The word that they chose in the King James is the word seed. We noted that God made this prophecy. The word offspring in the ESV was used instead of seed. So we can read up here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Why is that little word seed so important? Offspring refers to Jesus. Seed obviously will refer to Jesus. But seed also describes the virgin birth. And you might scratch your head and go, well, how does that describe the virgin birth? Well, any time the word seed is mentioned in the Bible, it's always referring to a male. You see, the female in any kind produces eggs. Only the males produce seed. So we have an impossible thing here. The two words, her seed, don't occur naturally in our world. Did God make a mistake when he said that? I don't think so. We know that God doesn't make mistakes. So how do we think about it? The term her seed being impossible naturally is one way to describe the virgin birth. A virgin birth is promised before Adam and Eve even leave the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine? What an amazing thing. So, in the Garden of Eden, we have Jesus prophesied. We have his purpose. He's going to defeat Satan. And we have a virgin birth being mentioned. Wow. So many centuries later, after the flood, many, many years have gone by, and we hear from Isaiah. We hear a prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah is talking to King Ahaz, the king of Judah, and King Ahaz is in trouble. And Isaiah, in 734 BC, tells him this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, if you know anything about prophecies, there's always two results to a prophecy. There's one that happens immediately. It's about the context of the situation. And there's one that happens in the future. So King Ahaz was given a sign to look for a virgin that would conceive and bear a son, and that person would be called Emmanuel. That was going to happen right in the context of Ahaz. But there is also the future context where Jesus is being prophesied about being born by a virgin. So that's 734 BC. Paul the Apostle later on confirms the prophecy about Jesus by Isaiah. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So the fulfillment of the prophecy comes with the purpose of Christ, the purpose of redemption and adoption. Redemption comes by defeating Satan, the very thing God promised in the Garden of Eden. Dr. Luke records the prophecy being fulfilled. He says, "And the angel answered Mary, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Now, it's very important that we look at the words child and the words holy and Son of God, because, you see, this is a virgin birth. This is a person who will be born that is fully human. That's why the word child is used. But there is no human father. And so the word holy and Son of God refers to his deity. He's completely God and he's completely man. And Luke is recording this. That is amazing. And this was all predicted way back from the Garden of Eden by God himself and through the prophets down the ages. Let's move to the third prophecy. What are the odds that your birthplace would be named centuries before you were born? What are the odds of that? Did anybody predict where you were going to be born other than moments before? "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." This was written by Micah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah, and prophesied between the years 735 and 700 BC. In this time frame, just to give you a little context, Jonah went to Nineveh. And, small detail, just before this time, in 753, a city was being founded. Anybody want to guess what that city is? Starts with an R and ends with Om. Rome. Okay? The city of Rome was just being founded at the time that Micah was making this prophecy. Hang on to that fact because it's going to come into play. Micah prophesied that Jesus would come from Bethlehem, that his purpose was to rule Israel, and references his deity by describing his eternal state. That last sentence says, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's an eternal statement. Jesus was part of creation. He's from everlasting, and he will be in the future everlasting. So Luke and Matthew record the fulfillment of this prophecy. We'll read. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." So 700 years later, Rome is no longer a small city. It's an empire, and it's ruled by Caesar Augustus. How perfect is that? What are the odds that the prophecy would be given right at the time Rome was being sprung, and the prophecy and Rome go side by side until Rome is an empire, and we have Joseph and Mary. Now, Mary is 9 months pregnant in Nazareth. Nazareth is 156 kilometers away from Bethlehem. If you're a pregnant mother, and I know some of you have been, what does it feel like to be in the ninth month? Is it a time that you want to get up and move? Is it a time that you want to walk 156 kilometers? What is going to make you move? It won't be your husband. I can guarantee that. I've had experience. It takes a mighty power. And so Caesar Augustus, the government, forces them to walk 156 kilometers, Mary being pregnant. That would have taken, oh, who knows how long. You know how often you got to stop regularly to stop on a trip. I can't imagine being pregnant and having to stop regularly, more regularly than regularly. That would have been a crazy trip. So let's read what it says. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. So the child was born in Bethlehem, as was predicted over 700 years earlier by Micah. Now here's an example of the distance. On the left, we have Fort McMurray down to Crow Lake, not quite as far as Wandering River. On the right, we have Nazareth down to Bethlehem. So you can see the similar distance there. And the only difference, of course, is down to Crow Lake, it's fairly flat. There, that's all mountains and rocks and really hard going. So imagine yourself being 9 months pregnant doing that trek. That's just to give you an idea. If you want a really good example, is go to Vancouver Island and do the West Coast Trail. That takes about a week. You'll be blown away. Amazing trip. It'll give you an idea. And then just when you do that, carry another, 20 pounds, 30 pounds in front of you here so your back gets sore. That'll give you an idea of how that works. So we've got the fourth prophecy. What are the odds that your name would be named centuries before you were born? Your name, when we named our kids, it wasn't centuries before because I wasn't around. It was like maybe months before. And it took a lot of thought. So remember, here's the prophecy that we've already seen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is a prophecy from Isaiah about the virgin birth given to King Ahaz of Judah in 734. Matthew connects that prophecy. It says, therefore, the Lord himself, there we go. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, this is Joseph, came to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So that little phrase at the end that's highlighted is outlining that God is with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. And it's the fulfillment of this prophecy. God is with us. He continues on in verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So Matthew records this fulfillment. The final prophecy, what are the odds that your purpose should be stated centuries before you were born? Do you even know your purpose now? Wouldn't it be great if you could look up in a manual and say, oh, this is your purpose? Hey, well, that's great. I mean, Mary could do that with Jesus. She could go through these prophecies and say, oh, this is going to be easy. If all my children were like this, it'd be great. And can you imagine the conversations later? You know, Jesus, this is going to be your purpose in life. And she goes through the Bible with him. That would be amazing. What are the odds that your purpose would be predicted? This is from Psalm 89:27. This psalm was written by Ethan the Ezrahite. Anybody heard of Ethan the Ezrahite? Ethan was the rock star of the day. Ethan was who everybody wanted to be like. Ethan was comparable to Solomon in wisdom. He was appointed as the chief musician by King David. And here Ethan describes Jesus. He says, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. He's describing Jesus as the firstborn and the highest king. Zechariah also in 520 to 515 BC during the reign of King Darius I. He made a prophecy. He's prophesying here in this verse that Jesus would be a king and a savior. Also notice that he mentions that Jesus would enter on the foal of a donkey. And as you know, Jesus entered the city riding on the foal of a donkey near the end of his ministry. So a couple of prophecies in there. So he's going to be a king and he's going to bring salvation. The angel talking to Mary confirms what Ethan predicted in Psalm 89. So this is Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. His kingdom is eternal. Now notice the words house of Jacob. This is just an aside, but if you're talking with people who believe that Allah is the same as God, our God, this little phrase makes the differentiation there. You see, Allah is only the God of Abraham. Our God comes from the house of Jacob, and our God is going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. There's a little distinction. Look for these little distinctions, because the Muslim world is rising up and there's going to be a lot of pressure to make them look like us. It's a false thing. The house of Jacob, Israel. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's where Jesus is describing himself to Zacchaeus. He's describing himself as God and the Savior. Another confirmation. So, here's a word we all look forward to. Conclusion. And this conclusion will not go on forever and ever, because I've written it down just for your safety. So, we don't need that hospital. We have read how God has promised a Savior to redeem the world from the curse laid out in the Garden of Eden. We have talked about how Jesus fulfilled 5 of the 351 prophecies. There's still another 346 prophecies to explore if you still doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. That's one a day for the next year almost. It's not luck or by chance. It's no accident that Jesus Christ fulfilled these prophecies. You see, there are no odds. Odds are only in place when there's a probability that something could be wrong. But when something is planned, there are no odds. God has planned it all. He's planned the redemption of mankind right from the Garden of Eden to the birth of Jesus Christ. God has shown his love for us by providing prophets to witness to us of forgiveness and redemption through Jesus Christ. God did not stop at Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. His plan is still unfolding. There are other prophecies about the future yet to be fulfilled. Let's see what Jesus has to say about one of them. See if you can see the prophecy. It says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So did you catch the prophecy in there? Jesus said he's coming again to take us to the place that he's preparing. That's something that hasn't been fulfilled yet. You can still get in on that if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. Jesus says, we know the way. Let's read this verse. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. It's absolute truth. If you want to be with him when he comes, you must believe he is the Savior. Remember, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The prophets believed, Peter believed, Cornelius believed, I believe, I hope you believe what they have to say. If you already believe in Jesus Christ, I hope you're able to strengthen your confidence in God's plan of redemption and share it this week with the person of God, with the person God brings to you to share that hope of salvation. Share this verse up here, whoever believes in Jesus Christ may have eternal life. Share that with someone this week and you will fulfill the Great Commission and keep the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the awesomeness of your planning. We thank you that we can be part of that and that you planned it specifically for us so we could be redeemed from this curse that you gave in the Garden of Eden. You made a plan for us to escape it, to escape sin and to escape death, eternal separation from you. Father, I pray that anybody here that is wondering about that they be like Mary and ponder it and come to a conclusion that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray that those of us who believe here in the name of Jesus, that we would take that name and proclaim it to those around us. Bring us opportunities this week and help us to fulfill your great commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.